Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Heavenly Father, please help us. Lord, we're going to touch upon something that is core, Lord. It's absolutely foundational to our Christian life. And Lord, when our country feared you, there were great benefits that came with that, as we'll discover tonight. But as we have begun to lose, and in some ways lost, the fear of God, with that has come great consequence. And so, Lord, we can't control a nation, but we can certainly control our own lives and make our decisions for how we're going to conduct ourselves in light of this subject. And so I pray, Lord, that you would please reinstill in each of our heart, just kind of hit a reset button, if you will, on the importance of having the fear of the Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And a preacher told me this week. I was talking to a pastor, and he said, I don't know if I can be shocked anymore, but I can be disappointed. I thought, wow, I don't know if I can be shocked anymore, but I can be disappointed. I don't know if the world has gotten to the point where I don't know if there's almost anything that the world would do or say that I could almost say would shock me. I hate to say that I'm probably with him on that, but oh, they'll probably come up with something. But I'm just absolutely amazed at the level of debauchery and the level of blasphemy that exists in this country. How do you diagnose whether or not a nation has feared the Lord? Well, we'll talk about the meaning, the definition of the fear of the Lord in just a minute, but folks, it's defined mostly in our conduct. There are certain things that if you have the fear of the Lord, you simply would not do. There are certain things that if you fear God, you simply would not say. I think that we have reached a point in the life of our culture in America where there's hardly anything that some people will not say and will not do. There's very little things that people consider sacred at all. And commercials have gone to the devil a long time ago, but there's a trend now that's creeping into the commercials where they're beginning to use God's name in vain and swear and curse during commercials. Now you think about this. This is a corporation, multi-million-dollar corporation, that has bought airtime to try to get you to buy something. And usually they're being very careful in the process of that, and certainly not offending anyone. But you know what? They don't care anymore. They don't care. You know, it used to be that a group of Christians, I mean, just a handful of us, would call or write or email about something. And boy, I'll tell you what, you'd see about face in that arena or with that company or with that. They don't care anymore. One of the companies, fast food chains, that absolutely just blatant in their filthiness is Hardee's in the production of their commercials. They started it 4 or 5 years ago. And folks, they have been contacted by millions of Christians. And you know what their answer to millions of Christians is? We don't care. We just don't care. We don't care if it offends you. We don't care if it offends God. We don't care. This is what we're going to do. What are you going to do about it? And one of the things that you see, of course, those of you that have been in here on Sunday morning, our adult class, and one of the character traits, the defining character trait of the Antichrist and his regime will be the fact that they are known for their blasphemes against God. Folks, the gloves are off. Nobody's pretending anymore. It's just full-on anti-God, anti-Christ environment that's being created in our society. People used to respect the church house. You know what? Little respect for the church house now. People used to have a certain amount of respect for a minister, whether or not you agreed with the denomination he was associated with or everything that, you know what, there would be a certain, oh my goodness sakes. I mean, this year I've had people leave cursings on my on my message machine and cursings on the machine in there and on my cell phone. And, you know, there's just absolutely hardly any respect at all for a man of God or the church of God or the Lord's Day. I mean, you know, Saturday used to be a party day. Friday night was the party night. Saturday was the getting sober day, and Sunday was the church day. You know, and now it starts Friday and runs all the way through Monday morning because Sunday's just another day to party and carry on and play the fool. And it just seems like fewer and fewer people have a fear of the Lord. Now remember this, folks. And one of the things that when it's a bigger subject than we can. Than we can tackle in one night, so I'm going to give you an overview of it. But one of the things that's very definite and very defined in the Bible when it comes to the fear of the Lord is that the fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. Okay, if you're courting evil, it's because you're not fearing the Lord. If you're accepting evil, it's because you don't fear the Lord. If you can participate in evil, it's because you don't fear the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. And so I want to talk to you about this subject and probably not say too many things that you haven't heard preached and taught from this pulpit in the last 40 years. But I want to mourn tonight to a certain extent the loss of the fear of the Lord. I expect it. I'm not that shocked when I see it amongst God's or amongst the world's people. But I am disturbed that God's people are more and more being, I think, shocking me still and surprising me in the fact of some of the things that they'll say and some of the things that they'll do and still claim to be born-again Christians. I mean, you know, I was talking to a man this the other day, and I said, you know what? I know any one of us are capable of some things. I understand that. There's not a person in this room. You'll be careful about getting up and say, I'd never, because, you know, the devil heard it. But at the same time, let me just say this. At the same time, read the New Testament. There are some things that true born-again Christians simply will not and cannot do. I mean, there's certain lines there. And the Bible says and lists certain sins that says if you do this, if you habitually do these things, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't care. You can walk throughout your whole life and claim to be a born-again Christian. You know, but what I hear Christians saying, some of the conduct of people that claim to be born again Christians, well, they don't know the same God I know. And they certainly don't fear him. What does the fear of the Lord mean? If you look up that word fear, it's talking about a moral reverence. Now, I like that word moral, a moral reverence, a dreadfulness, an exceeding fear or fearfulness of God. And so, folks, listen to me. I love the Lord. I want you to understand this. You can love the Lord and still fear the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm glad that I have the opportunity to get on my knees and call him Father. He's given me permission to do that. He's offered me that relationship. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so I thank God that we have available to all of us a very sweet and tender relationship with the divine creator. I'm talking about Jehovah, folks. The fear of the Lord, that word Lord's is the word Jehovah, the self-existent one. And yet this great God of ours offers to us a very intimate relationship, a very close relationship, and he bestows upon us great love and great mercy and great grace. However, there's a foundation that relationship is built on that we should never forget. And the foundation of our relationship with God is a fear of the Lord, which means this: I love the Lord, but I also fear the Lord. I loved my dad when I was growing up, but let me tell you something. I knew there were certain lines I better not cross with my dad. I love the Lord. By the way, I know there's certain lines I better not cross with the Lord, because as much as he loves me, he will chasten me. The Bible says if he doesn't chasten you, by the way, if you've never been chastened by the Lord, you're not one of his children. That's not Pastor Jerry Ross. That's the Word of God that says that. If you've never been chastened, you're not one of his children. Okay, and so if you stand up and say, well, I'll tell you what, the Lord's never had to chasten me. Well, let me tell you what, you just confess to me you're not saved. Because don't stand up and tell me you've never done anything worth a good hard spanking from the Lord. The Lord's going to chasten. You watch somebody go off into sin and nothing ever seems to bother them or happen to them or come to their life. It's probably because, you know what, they're not born again. Because a saved person's not going to get by with it. Not for very long, they're not. And so I love the Lord, but I fear him. Okay? Does that mean you have a reverence for him? Yes, but it also means I'm scared of him. All right. I mean, let's not try to soft soap this too much. I mean, I am. I know there's certain lines. If I cross, Lord is going to deal in a certain way with me. And you know what? It keeps me from crossing certain lines. I hope that I do right most of the time because I love him. But I want the foundation of fear to never go away, because there may be times when my love wanes and maybe I don't love him like I should. But I still won't do certain things because when love wanes, fear's still there. And it makes for a healthy relationship. It makes for a healthy relationship because I ought to fear the Lord. So the definition, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means that you have a moral reverence, a dreadfulness, an exceeding fearfulness of who he is and what he is willing to do and how he will chasten even his children. Now, let me just first of all try to sell this. Preacher, what are the benefits of fearing the Lord? And by the way, they're multiple. I've just written down 7, and honestly, I could have written down 17. Let me just give you 7 of them that's taught just in the Psalms and Proverbs, the benefits of fearing the Lord, and I won't spend much time on any of them. Benefits of fearing the Lord, if you'll start with me, we're going to go chronologically, so it'll make it easy for you. So just, you'll be able to flip a few pages and follow along. Psalms 25, and let's have you look at most of these verses. Psalms 25 and verse number 14, and we'll go through this and march right down through this list. I want to first of all just tell you there's a lot of positive things. I don't fear anybody. I don't fear God. Well, let me tell you something. You ought to, because there's some good benefits from it. Psalms 25 and verse number 14 says this: the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Think about that. Psalm 25, 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. There's plenty of benefits, but let me give you the first one. Secrets revealed. When God sees that somebody truly fears him, he's willing to share things with them that he wouldn't share with somebody who doesn't. Okay? He gives and imparts certain things to you. He teaches you certain things. There's an intimacy. He feels like he can trust you with certain secrets. Some things that I think are obvious to me when I watch somebody who does not fear the Lord, it seems like I'm somewhat amazed that there's certain things that are obvious to me that's not obvious to them. I think God withholds secrets. I think there's some things that the Lord will share with people that have lived a life that is a life of fearing him and respecting him and respecting the boundaries that he set in his life. God will reveal certain secrets to you. I think that God gives you success secrets. I think there's some things he'll share with people that show a fear of God that he's never going to share. I think that he'll give you insights in relationships. I think he'll show you ways and teach you ways of dealing with people and maintaining relationships that he's not going to share with somebody that doesn't have a fear of the Lord. I just think there's a lot of secrets that the Lord has that he's not going to give to somebody that disrespects him. Number 2, let's go to Psalms 31, just a page or two away, verse number 19. Goodness bestowed, secrets revealed, and goodness bestowed. Psalm 31, 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Let me kind of teach you something about the Lord, because sometimes I hear people say something that I just flat don't think it's biblical. And here's one of the things, you know, the fair police. Well, I think you ought to treat everybody the same. I don't know how many times I've heard, I think you ought to treat everybody the same. Well, God doesn't. So go take that to him. You mean he sometimes shows, yeah, he does. Well, I thought he was no respecter of persons. Well, okay, that's absolutely true. So everybody that will do certain things, he'll bless in a certain way, and everybody that doesn't, he won't in a certain way. But he, listen, don't give me this. Well, no one should show favoritism. God does. Sure he does. Somebody that is obedient, somebody that has a fear of God, somebody that lives in obedience to him, somebody that honors his name, somebody that puts him first. You're going to read this book from Genesis and Revelation and tell me there's not multiple verses that said God has promised to reward and bestow blessing upon people that live such a life. What I'm saying is this, folks. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Wait, the verse didn't stop. Which thou hast laid up for them that, what? Fear thee. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So, hey, if you would like to be a beneficiary of the goodness of God, then fear him. Number three, go to Psalms 33, verse number 18. Protection promised. Protection promised. Psalms 33, 18. Protection promised. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy. Go over a chapter to Psalm 34, verse number 7. I like this one. Well, this is exciting to me. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And I will tell you this, there's certain protection that is promised to people that fear the Lord. One of the things that I think go hand in hand when I watch people that adopted a lifestyle where they don't fear the Lord, they don't respect the Lord, and they don't have a reverence for him, and it seems like they're willing to almost do or say anything, is they're the same ones griping about how God's not good to them and why did God let these bad things happen to me? It's almost like it goes hand in hand. Okay, they don't want to fear him, and then they wonder why there's real life consequences that come with that. God promises that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. Now, if we could have our limited vision, the scales of our mortality was taken off of our eyes and we could see the divine, what you would see is that the people who fear the Lord in this room, I promise you, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. I don't know about you, but the idea that there's, you know, that I've got an angelic bodyguard is pretty appealing to me. Especially if you're Jerry Ross, you need protection at times, okay? But I'm just saying, that's pretty good. Oh, preacher, oh my goodness sakes, last February, you know, the homosexuals were out here, and don't you know that you're probably on 150 different watch lists, and you know, do you have any idea the war that's going to come if you do some of the things you're contemplating about trying to get this thing amendment through, and you actually start writing letters and meeting, aren't you worried, listen, I got bodyguards. I got bodyguards. And by the way, if you fear the Lord and you trust in him, so do you. Okay, I don't walk alone. I don't walk alone. Okay? I fear the Lord. He's made some promises to me. There ain't nothing going to happen to me. God doesn't okay. The devil's got to go get a permission slip to do something to Jerry Ross. He had to go get one for Job. I expect he has to go get one for me too. And you also. So I'm going to. Now watch it, folks. Wait a minute. Watch this. You get to be a know-it-all. You get to be a smart aleck. You know, all of a sudden you think it's cool to blaspheme God or begin to say and talk certain ways. And you know what? I think the angel of the Lord just says, okay, time to pull up stakes. I think the Lord just kind of sends a note and says, nah, you know what? I guess they don't need our extra special divine protection. So, you know, they want to live that way, and they want to be a smart aleck, and they want to mouth off about this and talk down this and whatever, and they don't have any fear of God, and they're willing to do and say almost anything. Okay, fine. All right, good. Here you go. I'll pull the reinforcements. Boy, it's a benefit. Isn't it exciting? I think it's worth fearing the Lord. So we have secrets revealed. We've got goodness bestowed. We've got protection promised. How about this? Provision assured. Provision assured. Psalm 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There is no want to them that fear him. So God sees somebody that lives a life where they obviously live in the fear of the Lord, and God says, you know what, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your needs. Now, listen, folks, we're going to go down through the rest of them, but I hope this is already building up in your heart. You know, when God asked us to do something and we just do it, there's so many benefits of just learning to obey it. Now, let me help you with a little bit, okay? I want you to just take inventory. And I'm not upset with anybody, but I think this is my job to help you to stand in account with God sometimes. Now, I think you ought to look in the rearview mirror of your life for the last few months and said, listen, what's come out of your mouth that shouldn't have come out of your mouth? That wouldn't have come out of the mouth of somebody that truly fears God. Okay, what have you decided is okay to watch or okay to get involved with? Okay, that somebody that feared the Lord wouldn't do it. You can talk about, well, I fear the Lord. I got all the, does your life back it up? And I think from time to time what we need to do is take inventory. And we need to really say, you know what, am I living in such a way so that God can look down and see that I truly do fear him? And again, provision assured. How about this? Mercy extended. How many needs mercy in here? Psalm 103. I'll have you jump a little bit. Psalm 103. Two different verses I want to read to you. I need God's mercy. I need God's mercy. I need his mercy. I need his grace. Psalm 103, verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Look at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And I know this. I know that there's certainly times in all of our lives when God certainly could chastise us harder, and we're deserving of it. I will say this. I think God has been very, very, very merciful to this preacher. And by mercy, if you know the definition of mercy, that means, you know what? God extended you a pass when you really didn't deserve a pass. I think all of us can attest and testify to the mercy of God in our life. I said this the other day, and I've said it from time to time, you know. I said there's a few times in my life that if God would have killed me, he'd have been justified doing it. And that's probably, again, true with most of us, you know. Oh, say, preacher, why is God so merciful? Well, I think it's just his nature, and I think he extends mercy a lot of times to people that certainly don't deserve it. But I think what God does is this. I think he takes an overall view of a person's life. And if their general overall attitude towards him has been one of fearing the Lord, I think that when he could chastise to this level, a lot of times what he does is he chastises to this level. And I want that mercy. I'll just tell you, I need God's mercy in my life. And so I want to live in such a way that he knows that I fear him. Now, we read in Proverbs chapter 1, and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you know the sister verse to that, you'd find it in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So number 6, knowledge and wisdom bestowed. Knowledge and wisdom bestowed. I think God opens up certain things. I said this about secrets revealed, but I think especially since I believe all knowledge and all wisdom flows from the Word of God, I think that God simply gives the Word of God a certain, his book, a certain life to those that fear him. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so when you learn to fear the Lord, it's amazing. Young men, young ladies, as you grow up, you're going to need knowledge and you're going to need a lot of wisdom if you're going to make right decisions and build a proper foundation so that you can have a life that's successful and blessed. If you fear the Lord, God makes that knowledge and wisdom readily available. If you don't fear the Lord, he withholds that. And again, sometimes I'm shocked. I guess we shouldn't be this, but watch this. I'm shocked sometimes at the stupidity of the decisions people make in a backslidden condition. I don't know what other word to use for it. I mean, I just look at them sometimes and think, what in the world? I mean, even if you decided you didn't want to live for God, you didn't want to do this, you didn't want to do that, you don't want to go to church, why would you do that? Let me tell you why. Because God begins to withhold knowledge and begins to withhold wisdom. And pretty soon, you're making some of the most foolish decisions. I mean, lost people wouldn't make some decisions that I've watched backslidden Christians make. But you know, what's the problem? They decided they didn't want to fear the Lord. And honestly, they say things and they get into things and they make the financial decisions and they make business decisions and they make relationship decisions. And you just kind of look at it and go, are you serious? I mean, a 3-year-old would know better than what happened. Knowledge and wisdom is being withheld. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and before honor is humility. And so one of the things that God gauges in our lives and then uses that to determine how much knowledge and wisdom he will bestow to us is our fear of the Lord. Number 7, and again, I've just given you 7 of these, and there's many more. What is the benefits of fearing the Lord? Secrets revealed, goodness bestowed, protection promised, provision assured, mercy extended, knowledge and wisdom bestowed. Number 7, meaningful and long life. A meaningful and long life. Now, watch this. And me and Brother Estill Senders was talking about this right before church started. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're young, somebody tries to look at you and tell you, boy, I'll tell you what, life is quick and life goes fast. Life is a vapor. And you sit there and think, well, sure, okay, whatever. I mean, I've got forever. But I'm going to tell you something, young people, life is a vapor that appears for a short time and vanisheth away. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 tells us that God bestows not only long life, but a quality of life to those that fear him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 10, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Brother Abel come up and asked me a question here a little while ago. A couple weeks ago, and he said, Brother, Pastor, you're talking about the day appointed. It's appointed unto man once to die, and we all have an appointment. He said, do you believe the Bible teaches that even though God sets a certain amount of days for us, that can be either lengthened or shortened? And I said, I think it's inarguable that the Bible does teach that. I think God does give number of man's days. But I think that there are days that in people's lives that have been shortened. By the way, one of the ways you know right away, young people, because it's been taught to you from very young age, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Watch this, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Notice this, quality of life, that it may be well with thee, and length of life, that thou mayest dwell long on the earth. And you watch, I'll give you a perfect example. Oliver B. Green, the testimony of his own lips, if you listen to him on the radio and you listen to him consistently, sooner or later you heard him say this. He would say on the radio, when he'd teach on this, he'd say, folks, I'm not going to live probably as long as I should live. If you know him, you ever read his testimony book, From Disgrace to Grace, it's a wonderful testimony, but it's the testimony of a young man that broke his mom and dad's heart at a young age and was disobedient at a young age. And you know what? The prophecy of his own lips came true, and he did not live an aged life. And he predicted that. You know why? Because he said this, I dishonored and disobeyed my parents in my youth. It's going to cost me at the end of my life. Now, you may not think that that's a big deal when you're 14, 16, or 18, but you get down to about 52, and you know what? You're going to start thinking, well, now, wait a minute here. Well, man, all of a sudden, those years get a little more precious. And what I'm saying, please listen to me, what I'm saying is this. Listen, if you want to have a meaningful and long life, then you learn to fear the Lord, because the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, and the years of the wicked shall be shortened. How about Proverbs 14, 27? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. One of the things that the fear of the Lord does for you is it causes you to avoid actions that would cause you to end up facing an early death. You think about that? To part from the snares of death. Not only is this a fountain of life, and again, I think that's describing a quality of life. You know, I don't know about you, but there's just something, come on, have you ever gone by a fountain? I think one of the most beautiful things that man has created is if you've ever just seen a beautiful fountain. I mean, it arrests your attention. I mean, I don't think I've ever walked by a fountain and just ignored it. I always stop and look. I don't know what it is, something about that water spraying and splashing. It's a beautiful thing. And I think God's saying there that, you know what, you can have life or you can have a fountain of life. Okay, you want to fear the Lord, then you can have a fountain of life. And there's something wonderful. There's something beautiful about that type of a life. I've said this a lot, but listen to me. There's a difference between existing and living. Let me tell you something. Sinners, transgressors, backsliders exist. People that live within the perfect will of God live. Okay, if you want to exist, then choose that type of a life. And you, well, I'm going to be able to do what I want. Okay, whatever. But you're going to find out pretty quick that just becomes a mundane existence with a lot of consequences because the way of the transgressor is hard. You're going to find out life begins to become a burden. I don't think at the beginning of backsliding and all of the, you know, the devil brings all kinds of temptations into our lives, and he tries to always sell, especially young people, try to sell them on how much better life is going to be if they go out and do their own thing and what the world has to offer. And young people, there's no way I can convey this to you. But with sinfulness and with a life lived outside the will of God, if you're truly saved, becomes a vexation. And I don't know if I can describe that to you. You almost have to experience it to know what I'm talking about. But I mean, it comes with a vexation, which means this. You can try to do everything you can to bring pleasure into your life, and you know what? You still can't enjoy it. And you can turn up the music as loud as you want, and you can run to as many parties as you think you can attend, and you can inject whatever you want to, or swallow whatever you want to, or watch whatever you, and you can bring all the distractions you try to bring into your life. But here's the problem. You know what? Your life's not a fountain. You're existing. You're not living. I think the greatest life in the world is Christian life. I mean, I feel like one of my jobs is sell that point to young people. I think it's great. Okay, I really do. I think it's a blessing just to serve the Lord. And all the benefits that come with serving the Lord. And you know, there's something called peace that's pretty good. Because we all, sooner or later, got to lay our head in our pillow at night. And you know what? Either there we wrestle with our demons or we sing with the angels. And you've got to decide what kind of life you're going to live. But listen, folks, if you are being tempted by someone who's trying to sell you the idea that a sinful life is a life of quality, I promise you, you're dealing with somebody that's trying to deceive you. And you know what? Misery likes company. Okay? Misery likes company. And what the miserable want to do is cause other people to be miserable. But listen, just focus on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Head towards Him. And you'll be glad that you did. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. I like this. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 19, 23. Isn't that beautiful? The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide, how? Satisfy. Watch this. He shall not be visited with evil. And so the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And you know what? He that hath it, you're going to be satisfied. Go to Proverbs 22, verse 4. Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And you see life, meaningful life, long life, a blessed life, a satisfied life comes with fearing the Lord. And you say, preacher, okay, that's the benefits. Are there consequences? I'm going to have you turn to one more portion of Scripture and we'll read it and then we'll close the service, make a few comments, close the service. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number, we'll go back to where we started. And we are encouraged in verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But then the other side of the coin, God flips it over as he does in many of the Proverbs. He gives an exhortation and then a warning with it. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want to read down here, verse number 10, if you look, and let's go down through the rest of the chapter and we'll just kind of read. My son, of sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, now young person, I guarantee you, if you're not being enticed now, you will be before it's over. A bunch of sinners are going to come try to entice you that the backslidden life, the carnal life, is the way to go. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Watch this. Listen to wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called. Now watch this. Wisdom spends verse 20 And all the way down to verse 23, calling and pleading. By the way, we ought to be seeking wisdom. Wisdom oughtn't have to come looking for us. Yeah. We ought to be seeking wisdom. Wisdom oughtn't have to come chasing us down, but it's willing to. Now, wait a minute. What happens if wisdom takes the time to try to beg us to interact with it, but we choose not to do that? Well, all right. Verse 24, because I have called and ye've refused, stretched out my hand, no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And by the way, remember, wisdom is the one talking here. For that they hated knowledge, watch this, and did not, what's the next word? Choose the fear of the Lord. Now, every one of us has a choice. I said this recently. I'm going to say it a lot, I think, in the future. I just like saying this, and it's good to hear it. You know what? God wants you to have a choice. He made you to choose. He gave you a free will. What good is your Christian life if you didn't choose it? Of what quality of your is your Christian life, and what value to God if you didn't choose it? You know what? I wouldn't take that away from anybody. Preacher, would you choose? No, I wouldn't want to choose for somebody else. They need to make the choice, because they're the one that's going to experience the blessings of the right choice or the consequences of the wrong choice. I wouldn't make the choice for you. You say, well, wouldn't you like to have the power? No, because God didn't make it that way. You know what? When I was a young person, I had to make some choices. Every one of the young people in here. When I was a young adult, I had to make some choices. Okay, I'm beginning to say when I was a middle-aged adult. and you know what? My choices aren't done either, folks. I'm still going to have to make choices. And you know what I want to do? I want to choose the fear of the Lord. I want to choose the fear of the Lord. That's what I'm going to choose. Why? Because with the fear of the Lord comes wonderful benefits and blessings. And there's great consequences that come into the life of those that choose not to fear God. And so no matter what choices you've made up to this point, you can begin tonight to choose the fear of the Lord. You can say, you know what, I'm going to fear God. I am. I mean, I'm going to fear. I'm going to have reverence towards Him. I'm going to realize there's certain things that are sacred, certain things that shouldn't be laughed about, made fun of, certain things that ought to be respected, certain things that, you know what, we just don't do because, you know what, fear the Lord. Certain things I just don't say because, you know what, I fear God. And that makes everybody else laugh and hoot and think that's all right, whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to fear the Lord. And when you choose that, with that choice comes a wonderful outpouring. I mean, literally, the windows of heaven are open type benefits pour into your life. And when you do not choose the fear of the Lord, you know what? Consequences, sizable consequences come into your life. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and Lord, we fear you. And Lord, make it always be so. May every young person here choose the fear of the Lord. May they choose that. May they choose the fear of the Lord. May there be that wonderful, wonderful time in their life, dear God, when they make a conscious choice to live a life that reflects a reverence and a respect of God and things that are sacred. Lord, we're vexed in our heart to live in this sinful world. It hurts me to see, dear God, a world that's just gone crazy. The spirit of Antichrist has now been unleashed and is rampant. And Lord, in preparation for the acceptance of the real Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is here. And Lord, some of the things, dear God, that we see and some of the things that we watch, and Lord, there it certainly is no moral reverence anymore towards the things of God. And Lord, as much as I've talked about it, I'm going to tell you, Lord, the idea that not that many months ago in this calendar year, as we were conducting a service that would point men to Jesus Christ, that there would be homosexuals, sodomites across the street marching up and down in front of a church, blaspheming God and blaspheming good and blaspheming those things that are right. Lord, if we haven't had a front row seat to the fact that very few, even in now small town America, it seems like fewer and fewer truly fear God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would understand that there is great benefits to this. And Lord, we would be encouraged that despite what the world is going to do and is doing, and sadly, I think Christians, some of them getting caught up in it, just in the worldliness and the carnality. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to make individual decisions. I'm going to fear the Lord. I want to fear the Lord. Bless now our time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.